Hey everybody, welcome to this very special Game Dev London podcast episode where the GDL team have very bravely handed the keys over to myself and some very special guests. We're here to chat about community management in the games industry and more specifically the benefits of embedding community into your development team. Hopefully that sounds cool to you. We're about to get into it. So yeah, before we get into it though, we should do introductions and I should introduce you to these wonderful people that I'm speaking with. So let's get into it. Let's do some icebreakers and stuff. I'll kick things off. So yeah, I'm Chris Groves, community manager at Sumo Leamington, which is part of Sumo Group. I've been with Sumo Leamington for just over a year, joined in January of 2023, and I've been in the games industry for about 5.5 years, doing the vast majority of my work's been community work with some product work in there too. Worked at Codemasters initially, and then moved over to Frontier for a little while before coming here to the lovely land of Sumo. Yeah, that's me, but I would much rather like to hand over to my friends here to tell me all about the awesome work that they do. I'll start with Jenny, yourself. Do you want to introduce yourself, my friend?
So hello, I'm Jenny. I'm a community manager here at Sumo Sheffield, which is also part of the Sumo Group. I've been in community management for 8 years now. This is my 8th year, which is slightly terrifying. I've been at Codemasters since then. And then now I'm here at Sumo, and yeah, it's really great to be here, and I can't wait to talk on this podcast.
Lovely. Thank you, Jenny. And Jimmy, over to you, buddy.
Yeah, hi, I'm Jimmy Bowers. I am not as seasoned or as experienced as Jenny or Chris. I've coming up on, I think, my 4th year now in community management. For my sins, before I moved into community management, I was working as a freelance games journalist, writing for places like Dual Shockers and MCV. But yeah, my last role before coming to the wonderful land of Sumo, which is our tagline now, was at Endreams. I was basically the content marketing person, community person, doing all sorts from, yeah, influencer management to your day-to-day community stuff. So, yeah.
Lovely. I'm quite jealous of you, actually, Jimmy, because my dream job for a little bit while was to be a games journalist. And I did it for a bit, and I did it for, like, this kind of fledgling site that we were very close to kind of really kind of kicking off, but didn't quite manage to break it. So, yeah, you're writing stuff for, like, Dual Shockers, MCV, like, that's sick. That's really cool.
it's a hard old world.
Yeah. I did sports journalism for a while, and, yeah, it's freelancing is a hard old gig, but but you made it here, and that's the most important thing. Cool. Before we get into the world of community management and game dev and all that kind of stuff, a far more important question to talk about is, what are you playing right now? So, Jenny, I will start with you. Any games you're into at the moment, and a bit of detail maybe on why you're enjoying them so much?
So I'm in my second playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3. I was very into Baldur's Gate 3 all throughout the early access period, and I think I've only just now beat the number of hours that I was playing during early access in like release. But yeah, I'm playing as I'm going through as a sorcerer and going through like that. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now, what I'm playing.
Lovely stuff. Jimmy, what about you?
I've only just wrapped up Final Fantasy 16, which was amazing. Really liked what it did with... I'm big into narrative games, and I really like how the ending wrapped up. No spoilers, obviously. I really like how the ending led into like their take on like mythology and creationism and things. I thought it was really clever. And now I've moved on to Spider-Man 2, which my wife got me for Christmas, and I've been very excited for. But I'm one of those people that can't start a new game if I'm currently playing a game.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I usually have like a rotation of like 2 or 3, but anything more than that is too much. Myself, I got Cyberpunk over the festive break. Absolutely loving it. I thought I'd enjoy it. I didn't know I'd enjoy it as much as I am. It's just sensational. Some of the work that they've done on that game is terrific, and it's just like little things. Like when I try to explain to people why I think it's so impressive, it's just little things like when you get messages from people, like the text kind of process is actually like, it's like text messages. It's just little things that they've done from a game design point of view that just make it feel so immersive, and you're just like, wow, that's just like, if you really kind of pay attention, it's like, this is seriously impressive stuff. So I got that, and also I've wasted far too much of my life playing Football Manager. for about 6 or 7 years, I've gone through phases. I'm like a jilted lover. I'm like, I'm done with it now. I've peeled myself away from it. I'm not gonna get. And then I just start a new save that just works, and it's just, oh, I'm into it. So I've started a new save with Bristol City of all teams. They're not my team. Ooh. I just decided to start with them, and it's going really well. And now every day I'm like, I just want to play it. I just want to progress. And I thought I was over it, and I'm not. I'm back in. So yeah, that's me, Cyberpunk and Football Manager at the moment. Okay, cool. Right. Community management. That's what we do. That's why we're here. Mm-hmm. But there'll be some people who are listening to this who may not know the slightest thing about community management and what we do, which is absolutely fine. So let's maybe get into some specifics about that. Maybe I'll start with you, Jimmy, about maybe just trying to give as brief an overview as you can. It doesn't have to be brief. Just give a bit of an overview about the world of community management and what you do. And then, Jenny, if you've got any thoughts after that, chip in as well.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so generally my go-to for trying to describe what I do, which is difficult, is we're kind of the eyes and ears and voice of the community, both in the studio, but also the eyes, ears, voice of the studio within the community. So we kind of float both worlds, really. But yeah, it's about trying to give the team around you like actionable data that they can then work up into hopefully updates that the community are going to be really excited about. I think the detail with which you can do that depends on like the team around you. I know if you work for, I think we all have at one point, if we work for smaller indies, then you are more of a generalist. You do everything from like content creation through to influencers, all sorts. Now if you've got like a creative team around you that can do the more involved assets, then you can actually be a bit more specialized and a bit more granular.
Yeah. Anything else, Jenny, on that?
I always like to describe community management as a bridge. I always like to kind of, if you imagine like a valley, and you've got two hills, and you have the dev team on one side and the community on the other. See, very much, community management is that bridge, right? It's that link between the two. And that's not just one way traffic, that's two way, it's very much a two way conversation. And that's very much how I always like to envision community management, as a bridge separating two points that aren't previously connected to each other. And for me, community management is about, how do we facilitate those conversations? How do we facilitate all the conversations and get the information from one side to the other, and kind of make sure that everything flows as nicely as it can do. And that to me is very much how I would always, and whereas to different people, always summed up community management very much as. And I think this is a great visual guide for, what community management is.
Yeah. That's a really good way of summing up. Yeah, I visualize it that way too. That kind of you're the bridge between your audience, your player base, your community, and the team that you work with on the development side. And it's very much a two-way street. And yeah, you that's a good point you make, Jimmy, about the role can change slightly depending on what kind of company you work for, depending on the company setup. I've worked in situations before where you'd have a community manager, but then you'd also have a social media manager, or you might have a social content creator and things like that. So they might kind of create specialist roles and split things up. But often that's not the case. And you kind of, a community manager or social media manager is kind of an all-encompassing kind of role. And I think that's generally kind of what we do across our two studios at the moment. We kind of pick up lots of different things that connect to how we communicate with players, and that can be all kinds of different things. So as an example, one moment will be, booting up a Discord server that we've made for the game, and we're speaking with players on there and speaking directly to them. And the next, we might be, creating some visual content for social channels and putting together some social posts. The next, we're going back to QA or production to find out what the status of a bug is, because our players are asking about it and we want to share some information about it. Could be running a live stream, could be doing a competition, all kinds of different things that go into, being that kind of voice of the game, but a representative of the players, but also being a representative of your studio and your team, and kind of being the middle person between those two hills, as you so well put it, Jenny. So yeah, that's a very good way of summing it up. I think the interesting thing as well about being a community manager that we're going to kind of get into here is, traditionally, at least from my experience, what I've seen across the industry, is that community managers sit within a publishing team. And I think we've all had experience where we've been a community manager in a publishing team, and then you work with a development team separately, either like as a separate studio or a separate part of the company, which can create some challenges sometimes. It can work really well, but it can also be a little bit difficult at times. Can either of you, maybe I'll start again with you, Jimmy, and then Jenny could go for it after that. Any challenges that you might have experienced when you've been a community manager as part of a publishing team and then having to go to a development team separately for something that you need or something that you want to work on?
Yeah, I think up until joining Sumo, that is only the experience I had. I'd not been part of a development team before. So working as part of a publisher, I think it has its benefits because you're just focusing on one thing. But I think the difficulty comes with like just knowing who key stakeholders are within the dev team and them also knowing who you are. Just the visibility of like who's who on the dev team with it being so separate. You don't generally have the level of visibility of where the game is. You're brought on generally later on the project, so you can't affect as much change. I think they're probably like the main things for me.
Yeah, I think definitely agree. Jenny, what do you think?
I think that's the key thing. You said it there, Jimmy, is about kind of like the time of which you end up coming onto the project, you can affect things really is very much, you know, experiences with you when you're with a publisher is that kind of difficulty with getting onto things as early as perhaps you would like to, I think is how I would put it. And yeah, I completely agree. It's all about timing, you know, and timing and coming on when you're coming onto a project and what you can affect when and how and all that stuff. And I think when you're part of a publishing team, that is naturally one of the cons. I think there's plenty of pros as well. There are pros of working with a publishing team, you know, being part of a publishing team. I don't think it's, you know, this is bad and not the way to do it. It's absolutely not the case at all. I think there are, you know, it works. There are cons, and one of those I think is being able to affect the game and the project you're working on early.
Yeah. I think when you join later, your focus tends to be like, if you come on before the game launches, your focus is more the go to market plan. It's not particularly like how much of this game can I change from a feature point of view. It's like, how can you leverage what's already there? Because things are kind of already locked by that point.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, all good points. I think timing is a huge factor of it. And I think some of that comes down to there's maybe an assumption sometimes, and again, like we might talk a lot about in this chat about assumptions and things like that, which are totally understandable because the world of community management is sometimes a bit of an unknown to the industry, and it's relatively new compared to a lot of roles, so there's a lot of assumptions and people are still learning about it, which is absolutely fine. I do think there are some assumptions sometimes that a lot of the work that community managers do is very instant and on the fly. And it's like, we just do things because it's creative content and it goes out live, and we have to be quick on our feet. And a lot of the time that is the case, but even more so, a lot more of what we do requires a lot of planning and strategy and long-term thinking. And that's quite difficult to do if you come onto a project later than you would potentially if you were more embedded within a development team. So yeah, agree that timing is a huge thing. And I also agree what you said, Jenny, that it's not always bad. Like, it's, you know, working, this isn't definitely a pledge to kind of say, you know, it's bad to have community managers within a publishing team. I've worked within situations where that process has worked great, and I've had a great working relationship with the development team, and they've, you know, brought me in on projects and kept me updated on what's going on, and it's worked really well. But just looking at some of the times where it maybe hasn't gone so well, and looking at some of the common issues that you come across, I think you've hit the nail on the head around like timing and things like that. And we'll get into a few more of them as we kind of go forward. But I guess the key reason why we're kind of mentioning this as a trio is that the three of us, as part of Sumo Groups, or me working at Sumo Leamington, you guys working at Sumo Sheffield, all three of us work within a development team. So we work within the live ops aspect of a development team. So, you know, projects have publishers, and I'm sure we speak with those publishers and work very closely with them. But instead of being connected to them and reporting to somebody within a publishing team, we report to somebody in the development team, and we're part of that working process. So based on that, it's a very different way of working, but some initial kind of thoughts from yourselves on how you've found that experience, because I know that for both of you it's relatively new, and it's relatively new to me as well. So maybe starting with you, Jenny, how does being so closely connected to a development team help a community manager, or help you in this situation?
Well, I mean, you talk about it being very different. It is very different. You know, one of the things that, you know, you're part of the development team, you know, you're taking part in milestones, you have work to do, not that you don't have work to do anyway, but, you know, you're part of a milestone that has actionable work that you need to complete before the end of the milestone, just like the other members of the dev team, you know, and you have, you know, you're writing kind of feature briefs, you know, kind of documentation, stuff that, you know, stuff that, you know, you'd have never done if you were working in publishing, which was a bit of a learning curve, I have to admit, getting to grips with that. And I'm sure that's been the experience of both of you two as well, is, you know, writing this stuff is kind of like, oh, this is interesting, you know, and it's stuff that, you know, you've never had to do before, but is really great skills to learn, and great stuff to really get involved in. But for me, it's been about, you know, you're learning how that particular development team works, you're learning about, you know, who are the key stakeholders. You know, Jimmy, you mentioned earlier about key stakeholders, you know, very much you learn the key stakeholders from, you know, very early on, you know, and you can get stuff actioned by, you know, the production team, you know, you you have your own, you know, assigned a friendly member of production that will help you out and be able to point you in the right direction and stuff. So it's kind of very much you are embedded in the team, and able to kind of really get stuff actioned and go and talk to the right person for this really easily, and you are part of it rather than that stage removed, and that's really key for me, to be honest. It's the key thing.
Yeah, Jimmy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think for me it was a little bit of a learning curve. I'm used to being in a publishing team where, like, you report as a community manager, you report to like a comms manager, who then in turn reports to a brand director. It's like, it's very marketing heavy, public facing, I'd say, not very like internal looking. But yeah, moving more dev side, yeah, having a direct report be a producer it was like, this is strange. but no, I think it's, yeah, again, like I said previously, it's like the visibility just on the game, on the team members, the project going forward. I've found it really beneficial, really, to plan things further out, and like affect change, because like Jenny was saying, just being able to actually write feature documentation is something I've never done before. Like, I've been a community manager for nearly 4 years and I've never once written like a feature request, and just learning that process of like, right, this is an idea of what we want to include in the game. How do we actually get that built? so it's not just a slide on a PowerPoint. Yeah, a big learning curve, but a fun one, definitely.
Yeah, completely agree with all those points. And yeah, freedom's maybe not the right word, but that ability to be able to go to a development team and be like, hey, I think this might be the best thing to do for the game in terms of an idea or a feature or a way to tweak something, and then having an actionable process. And you talked about having a producer to then take that on and put it through. That's brand new. It was brand new to me, but it's been fantastic. And it's because I think, you know, a common issue sometimes if you're coming over from publishing to request or suggest things like this, is that you don't have that kind of visibility on how the development team work. So they have their timelines, they have their milestones, their sprints, they have a cadence of how they're working, and everything is very, very well set out thanks to production about how things need to go. And then here comes you coming up and publishing, but hey, sorry, can you do this? And normally the answer can often be no, and it's not because they don't want to, it's because they have a schedule and they have a team that they have to kind of report to and get things done with. So it's very understandable. But being part of that team and having that visibility on, okay, when's the best time we can get this done, or like you said earlier, coming in early to a project to be able to suggest things a bit earlier, is massive. So yeah, I completely agree with all those points. And I just think, from our point of view, that visibility on the project as a whole, how's it going, what's the status on this feature, what's the timeline around it, are there any blockers on something, makes it so much easier for us as community managers to go back to a community, to go back to our audience and give them an informed answer on some of the things that they have questions about. So sometimes I've had experiences as a community manager where you're getting questions about when's this thing going to be fixed or what's the status on this, and I don't know because you have a limited amount of visibility on what's going on. You can try, and it's not through anybody's fault. It's just the way that the company and the way that the studio is set up. Whereas now I feel much more confident going into what I'm working on this year with Stampede Racing Royale. There's the first plug for it. We'll get a few more as we go along. That I feel much more informed about. If I'm going in Discord tomorrow and somebody asks me a question about a bug, I know I can go and find out the status of it, good or bad. So, and that's huge for a community manager. So yeah, that kind of closer connection and being involved, especially with production, is massive. So yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. We've talked a lot about how it benefits us as community managers to be really closely connected to development, but it's a two-way street. And us being connected, I do genuinely believe, is really positive to a development team as a whole. We can offer something with our expertise and our experience that can benefit the project. And we kind of touched on it a little bit, but feel free to get into it a bit more around like features and, documentation and things like that. Jimmy, I'll start with you. Like, think about any examples you can think of so far of like how your development team have probably benefited from having you and Jenny on the team. This is a good chance to blow your own trumpet. How are you helping them?
Yeah, okay. Obviously can't be any degree of specific about the game that Jenny and I are working on because it's not announced yet, secrets. I think with us joining the development team and joining a game in progress fairly early on, it's been quite a benefit, because as a development team, and I assume you can make best guesses and assumptions of what would work with a social community setting. Like, what do you think players will glam onto? How best they're going to communicate, how best you're going to communicate with them, and they're going to communicate with each other. But I think having actual community professionals on a project, we can better inform that research that they've done and those best practices, because we've got those kind of lived experiences. We know platform by platform, genre by genre, if you've worked across different genres, what works where, and more specifically what doesn't, and what things to avoid. And it's all about, if you have, say you're working on a multiplayer or a social game or something, if you've not got a community person on quite early, that's maybe a little cause for concern, because you need to be kind of wrapping the key features around uplifting community from kind of the start, or as near to the start as possible, just so you can have safeguarding in place, you can limit the potential for like toxicity to take hold. I think it's mainly about having someone with a key specialism in your team, and hopefully Jenny and I bring that.
Definitely. And hey, everything I've heard is that you absolutely are. So Jenny, anything to add to that?
I think it's about highlighting the importance of community. I think, I think one of the things that is important in games as a whole is community. You know, if you don't have a community, community is what drives a game, right? You can build it, you can make it, but it's the people that play it that kind of are the heart of a game. So very much community managers allow you to kind of get to that heart of the game and really think about who's going to be playing it and what kind of stuff they may like and how, communication and all that stuff from the get-go. And I think that's really going to help. And that's kind of very much how I see it, is, the whole kind of idea of, bringing the heart of the game into the development team's mind from very early on.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're in an era now where you almost can't create a video game without having to consider community. It doesn't matter what kind of game that you're making. It can be you might have no, like, it might just be a narrative driven one player game that doesn't have any service, but you still have to think about how, both in terms of as you're going to market with the game, but also kind of the period after that, if you want to continue kind of awareness and your visibility and engagement around it to make sure it's a success. Like, community managers aren't just about, working on multiplayer live service titles. We will get into that in a second, but it doesn't matter what kind of game you're making nowadays, your game can be influenced quite heavily by how well you kind of communicate with your community, so and deliver content for your community. So that close relationship is more important than it's ever been. Yeah, completely agree. I guess it's good to think about some examples potentially of how your role so far has created a benefit or an advantage to what you've been working on. So I'll try and lead with an example. So second plug, Stampede Racing Royale. We announced it last year, and we're going to be going into early access this year, as we've announced. So, but what we were able to do because of our setup as a development team and involving community is that we were able to set up things like Steam playtests extremely quickly. So because we had myself and a live ops team in place where we were happy to kind of gather feedback, and we had a system to gather data and qualitative and quantitative feedback, we're in a position that I don't think a lot of studios could be in, where, you know, a year out from where we think this game is quote unquote finished, like it will never be finished because it's a live service title, but in a position where we think it's feature complete, like a year before that, we were able to do playtests because we had a system where we knew we could gather feedback. So last summer we rolled out playtests, and we showed like a very kind of small slice of the game to our early community, and I was able to kind of create some comms and create a line of communication with our players to help them understand, like, hey, this ain't finished, and this will be a bit broken at times, and that's absolutely fine, and we're looking to just get your feedback. And we were able to get very understanding and very empathetic feedback, and you're just not really able to do that if you're not bringing in community at a very early stage. I can think of so many games that I've worked on as a CM in a publishing team where we just wouldn't have been able to do that because we didn't have the resources or the setup. So that was a really cool benefit of having community so embedded within the development team. Any examples from your side that you've done so far? Obviously, you've got to keep your cards close to your chest at this stage, not so much you can talk about anything that you can share that has been a benefit so far to the stuff that you've been working on. I'll start with, Jimmy, go ahead.
Yeah, I think, going back to being able to, co-author feature request documentation. So, I mean, a lot of the features in-game are obviously already really well thought out, really well designed, but we've been able to add an extra layer of, players need this to engage with. I'm trying to talk around things really badly. But yeah, we've I've been able to provide like an added layer of you've suggested X, maybe we need to slightly manipulate that just for safeguarding reasons, or maybe we need a better reporting system just so we can actually have actionable data at the end of it, so we can actually filter things and actually do what we need to as a community team. I think for us it's definitely been being able to write those features and being able to have honest conversations that don't end in, oh, there's no time to build that. Actually being able to be on a project as early as we are, we can actually work with production, work with discipline leads and go, how do we actually get this built in the time we've got? So.
Yeah, absolutely. Jenny, anything to add on that?
I think, you know, Jimmy's very much nailed it, but I think it's also about kind of informing best practices, looking at what other games in the genres do. And I'm sure, you know, you've had experience of this on Stampede as well. You know, you look at what other games that are doing it really well in the field are doing. Well, actually, this game does it like this and this game does it like this. I think it'd be best for this project if we do it like this. It's very much a case of kind of, you know, not just writing the features, but also, you know, informing what best practices should be and how we should be doing things and how communication should be and how players should be talking to each other and how that should all kind of come together under community and all that kind of stuff is very much features, but yeah, best practices and you know, what should we be doing and what should we not be doing, you know, because there's also an argument that, you know, we shouldn't be doing XYZ either. So it's very much kind of all that, again, trying not to be specific, all of that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, best practices is a great way of putting it and kind of making sure the team are informed on that. And again, it's not just about what that means out of game, it's what we can do in game to support that as well, and how a community team can use our experience to have input on those sort of things. So yeah, you mentioned things like a reporting system, or, you know, can we better communicate how players can submit an issue in game? Like, how do we signpost that in a game? So there's that kind of community side of things. It's more around like reporting and feedback and implementing that in game. But then there's also some stuff around more social aspects of the game. Like, we as community managers, we create content to engage people, and we've hopefully, you know, we it's our job to kind of gain an understanding of what our audience, understanding our audience as a starting point, and then figuring out what they engage with most, so we can take that, those learnings, and then put them into a feature or put them into things like that. I think a good example is, like, quite early on when I joined the Stampede team, I was speaking with one of our lead designers about the friends and party system. Like, how is that going to work? How do people connect with each other, and what are the benefits of doing that, and how is it all going to work in terms of in-game process? And I just kind of mentioned a few things in a call, and then they're like, hey, do you want to set up a chat and we'll kind of walk through this a bit more? And I was like, oh yeah, sure, whatever. And we brought up, like, the design page, like, of like the friends and party system, and I was like, yeah, this all looks really good, and I'd maybe just suggest one or two things here. And then, like, 10 minutes after the call, they were like, yep, yeah, okay, that's done, that's going to be put in the game. And I was like, what? Okay, great, like, that's cool, like, you're like, we're being listened to, and we're being brought on at a time that we can implement these things, and we have a voice in the development process. And like I said, that's, I mean, that's cool for us, it's great, but it's more that it's beneficial for the development team as a whole to being able to use our learned experiences to bring that into the game. So yeah, that's all really cool, and I think we've all had similar experiences since joining Sumo, which is fantastic and been beneficial to everybody, which is great. Final kind of point, so we mentioned that, you know, community and being closely embedded with development is important for any game. It can be especially important for live service titles. So we're seeing, you know, nowadays, some of the most successful titles are games that live for multiple years, that bring in service updates and things like that. And I guess it's kind of cool to kind of maybe highlight how important community is to that when it comes to live service and developing a game for a large amount of time. So maybe just some thoughts on yourself, sort of generally, so it doesn't necessarily have to be on what you're doing or what you're working on, but the concept of live service games, games as a service, games existing for years and years with seasons and updates and content. Why is it so important for community to be closely involved with development for those kind of games, in your opinion? Jenny, maybe start with yourself.
I think it, you know, I said it earlier, right? Games live and die on their community. And they really do. And community is the heart of any game. And, you know, in a live ops game, you are very much looking at your community. You know, you're wanting to do stuff, and you're wanting to please your community, you want to excite your community, and that's kind of why it very much goes hand in hand, is very much, you know, you are making things for your community, basically, and wanting to make sure your community has the best experience, and using it as a way of, you know, it's a live ops game allows you to really, really take that feedback that they're giving you and really expand upon it, and really kind of, you know, really kind of help change the game, or not change it, but help build it into things that they want to see. And then you got to see that come back around, and that's really nice.
Yeah, I think I echo that. I think the healthiest communities in games are communities that feel listened to. So I think with live service games, especially over a longer period of time, like Jenny was saying, you can actually properly action the feedback from your community, and they should, if you're doing right for a live service game, they should be directly informing your roadmap of features, of updates, and yeah, delivering a game that you both want to make, both as a developer and as an audience as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's really interesting to watch live service titles evolve, and I always kind of, the way I kind of look at it nowadays is, every time a new, like, season or massive update drops through a game, it's not just about, I don't just assess it in terms of content, but it's a great gauge of how closely are they listening to community, and how much are they able to embed what they have in mind. And you'll very quickly see whether they've achieved that, whether they haven't achieved that. And players, you know, players will look at content and look at, you know, the new things that they get in a big update, and it kind of falls instantly to them. But as the majority of people listening to this will probably understand, that content can take 6 months, 12 months longer to put together, and to ensure that the content that's dropping is in line with what the community expect or desire, that means a very real close connection with your CMs to understand, okay, this is the data that we've been getting for the last 6 to 12 months about the game. This is the feedback. This is the priority stuff that we flagged with you. These are some of the things that in the next big update, we believe we should focus on, whether that's content, whether it's a new mode or just tweaking the game or economy or something like that to make it better for them. Like, that takes a lot of time to do from a development point of view, and you have to have community really closely embedded to achieve that. So yeah, completely agree. And I really love seeing live service titles evolve. And like, it's just little things like I always try and use the example of Fortnite adds so much content, right? But and so many characters and skins and stuff like that, but they always like keep the banana as part of their that's a community thing. Like, that came from the community just being like, we love the banana dude. I don't play Fortnite, I'm sure he's got a name, but he's always in the trailers, he's always at the front and center of stuff, and it's like, that's like kind of a nod to like, yep, we hear you and we're listening and we're adding loads of new stuff and changing things, but we're still listening to what you like and what you enjoy. And that's the goal for any live service title, really. So yeah, that's awesome. It's great. Great to kind of touch on the live service side of things. But generally, I hope we kind of covered the point of how community management works, what we do generally, but then also the benefits that we can provide to a development team if we're closely embedded, especially as you guys mentioned early on in the development process. So pre-production phase, you know, as early as you can, kind of letting them be involved and having visibility on what the project is and how we can add some expertise into some features. So yeah, hopefully we covered it. Thank you so much, Jenny, Jimmy, for chatting with me today. It's been awesome to kind of hear your thoughts on how things are going at Sumo Sheffield and your role as part of a development team as community managers. Thank you to Game Dev London for having us on, for letting us do this podcast. We hope people listen to it. Give it like a thumbs up or a 5 stars or whatever you do with your podcast, just to tell them that we did a really good job. Thanks. All right. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for listening, and enjoy whatever you're going to do with the rest of your day. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.